How's everyone doing this morning? Good. I have the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. I'm looking forward to that. My name is Adam, if you don't know me. I work with the middle and high school students here at the church and have a wonderful group of students I work with who you'll get to meet a few of them today because they're going to help me with the sermon a little bit. So we're going to be in the book of Joshua chapter 4 today. If you want to open up to Joshua chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses there before we jump into things. Joshua chapter 4. The people of Israel had just crossed the Jordan River. God had parted the waters of the Jordan River. They crossed on dry land, and they'd just seen God do an amazing thing. And then finally in the promised land after all the years of wandering, and here we are. So would you read with me? It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, this is verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly. Bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. This may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they're there to this day. And then jump down to verse 21, please. It says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know, Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. please forgive me. I've been a little sick, so I'm trying not to cough or do anything like that, but it may happen. So we have this really exciting story here of the people of Israel crossing the Jordan and Joshua has these 12 men, these pre-selected 12 men, one from each tribe. They picked up a large stone from the middle of the Jordan, and they carried it with them to their camp, which was in Gilgal, which is about 8 miles away. So they carried this large stone on the shoulder for 8 miles, and when they got to the camp, they placed the stones in a pile as a reminder of what God had just done for his people, the fact that he parted the waters of the Jordan and allowed them to enter into their promised land. And so they had this pile of stones there that were a reminder to the Israelites of God, of God's power, and of God's relationship with them. And so today, this morning, we're going to talk for a little bit about the need and importance of making piles of stones in our own lives, in our hearts, in our minds. We don't need to physically make them, but in our hearts and in our minds, why it's important for us to build piles of stones to remind us of what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in our lives, because God is at work in our lives. And there are times in Scripture, in the Old Testament, there are other times in Scripture where we see these piles being made yet again. This is not the only instance of this. It happens throughout the Old Testament. And every time God would do something for the nation of Israel, for the people of Israel, they would build a pile of stones is a remembrance to what God has done. And I love in Joshua 4:9, it says, at the end of the verse, it says, they're still there to this day. The piles of stones were still there and were a constant reminder to the people that God was at work and what God had done. So would you pray with me as we jump into this morning? Father God, we come to you this day in need of your help, in need of your wisdom, and in need of your guidance as we study the Scriptures. I pray that you would open up our hearts to hear the message you have for us this morning. I pray that you would clearly speak through me, that it would be your words and not mine. God, I pray that you would allow us just to be reminded today of the work that you've done in our lives and the things that you do have planned for the future. Jesus, may you be glorified and lifted up through this time of study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In our lives, and especially in my life, because I work with students, I get to experience this a lot, but I know each of us have had these moments that are like God moments or God highs in our life. You know what I'm talking about? These times where we just feel connected to God, where we feel close to God, where we feel God moving in our lives. If you go on a mission trip, if you go on, you know, to summer camp, these are things like that propel us forward in our faith, that just make us feel really connected to God. And what I found is that soon after that, we experience these extreme lows. We go from this great high to this deep valley. As we seek after God, we often then have this moment where we just feel so low. After that camp high or moment wears off. And we see this often with the Israelites. And in my life, the same way, I'm quick to forget what God's done. When I'm in the middle of the storm, when I'm in the bottom of a valley, it's hard for me to remember what God's done in my life sometimes. It's hard for me to have hope. It's hard for me to be like, there were good times, because we're sometimes just down low, and it's hard to remember that. And I was reading this book the other day about this woman who was hiking the Appalachian Trail. Has anyone ever done that? Do you guys know what that is? The Appalachian Trail is this trail that runs from Maine to Georgia. It's like 2,100 miles long. People, for some reason, hike it, the whole thing. They start at the top. Joey Graber, I'm looking at you. I don't even see him, but this sounds like you. They hike the whole thing. This girl was trying to hike it faster than anyone had ever done it before. And I was reading this book about it. As she was hiking, she got to this place in New Hampshire called Mount Washington. And on Mount Washington, it's known for fog and it's known for storms. And hikers, when they go on Mount Washington, it's one of the sketchy areas of the trail. It's one of those ones like, okay, I got to get through Mount Washington. And the tricky thing on Mount Washington is, like, when I think Appalachian Trail, I think like woods, cute path, you know, easy going. But on top of Mount Washington, there's no defined trail. So they get up there and it's just rock. And the trail, it's rock. And what they have to use to find their way across the mountain, can you bring up that picture? Okay, these aren't very clear, but there's these piles of stones about every 30 yards. You can see one here in the upper left. You can see some back here in the bottom picture. And that's what they use to guide themselves across the top of the mountain. They look for these piles of stones. And instead of having a path to follow, that's what they follow to get up and across the mountain. Hikers who have been over the mountain before, hikers who have gone before, have left stones and have added stones to piles that are following over, so that future hikers will always have a pile of stones as a guide across the mountain. And I thought that was really, okay, you can pull that down, or everyone will just look at that all morning. Don't you want to go, Joey? See? I was reading that, and it just was so relevant to what I was studying for this morning, because they would walk from pile to pile to pile to get across, to see where to go because of people before them. And in our lives, I think it's important for us to do the same thing. The Israelites who experienced that morning, who experienced the parting of the Jordan River, who walked across in a dry riverbed, that's not something that they would necessarily forget real quick. You remember when a river parts for you. But future generations, generations down the line who hadn't experienced that, who hadn't been there when they crossed the river, they would walk by and see this pile of stones and be like, what's this for? Dad, grandpa, whoever. And they could say, this is a reminder to us of when God parted the Jordan River. Or this is a reminder to us when God did this or did that. And so they had these piles of stones around Israel that would remind them of what God had done and when he had met them. But if they didn't tell the story, if they didn't pass the story on down through the generations, soon to people walking by, it would just be a pile of stones, and the importance would be lost. And so this morning, I want to talk about a few different reasons why I think it's important that we build piles of stones in our hearts and in our minds and in our life. Sometimes God does big things. Sometimes God does small things. But I think it's important for us to take and make piles of stones because it helps us remember something. And the first thing I think it does, it helps us remember his faithfulness. When we remind ourselves in our hearts and our lives of what God's done, it helps us remember his faithfulness. If you look at chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, this is what it says. These stones may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall tell them the water of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. God was faithful to them. In my life, God has been faithful. There are times where I've wondered how I would get through situations, but God has been faithful. He has never failed in my life. I'm sure many of you can testify to the same thing, that when all hope seemed lost, God was faithful. I can look at instances in my life when God stepped in and did something that saved me. Excuse me, I don't know how to cough with this thing and not be weird. But in 1996, I was 16 years old, and I went to a conference called Acquire the Fire, and at that conference, I gave my life to Jesus. I said, I'm tired of playing the game. I'm tired of just going to church. God, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my heart. Save me. Use me. And in that moment, God saved me, and in a way, I placed a pile of stones. I'm just going to put one there for now. I made a pile of stones in my life. That was a time that I can look back and to remember that God was faithful, that God had been faithful in my life. I'm going to invite two of my friends up this morning, Sarah and Tanner. Why don't you come on up? They're a little shy and a little nervous, so I hope you guys are nice to them. It's an opportunity to show off a few of the students. So I've asked both of these two to share a moment in their life when they experienced God's faithfulness. In their lives, when they were able to build a pile of stones in their hearts because God was faithful. So Sarah, why don't you go ahead and go first?
This is when on September,
They're nervous. So.
On September 13th, 2007, my mom had a seizure at the wheel. There was six people in the car, my mom, my three brothers, my uncle, and myself. The doctor said that she would never walk again. The Lord had a plan for all of us. Now that I have grown closer to his word, I know that he was with us. His plan for us wasn't over yet. We all survived. We owe our hearts to him. My family is still together to this day. If anyone would have left, it would not be the same. We don't have to ask the question why he didn't take us. We just can look back on that day and say, this is the day that I will never forget, the day that the Lord saved us so we could talk about his word and spread his love. Thank you.
That's a moment in her life where God was faithful. That she was able to build a pile of stones in her heart to remember God's faithfulness. This is my friend Tanner. Now, Tanner didn't write his down, and I've had numerous talks with Tanner about what he might say on stage, so I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous with giving this kid a mic, but I think he's gonna do well. So, Tanner, why don't you say hi to everybody?
Hi. First, I just want to go back to something Adam said about carrying a stone for 8 miles from the middle of a river, and I can't walk 8 miles without a stone, and to do that with a stone would just be insane. So I'm going to come over here because...
Stage is yours, sir.
Let me get my notes. And... Okay, so in like April of 2010-ish, I got baptized by my old youth pastor in Colorado, Nick Jonkowski. It was pretty cold out, and we didn't have, like, a set-up church. So we did it in a pavilion in, like, the middle of a park. And we filled up a kiddie pool with a garden hose, so it was freezing cold. And as I, like, stepped into this freezing cold kiddie pool of water, I felt God's presence just descend over this pavilion. I looked out over all my friends, my mom, my grandma, grandpa, my dad. And I just, it just happened. I got baptized, and it felt great afterwards. It's very refreshing. And it was just an amazing experience for me, and I'm glad it happened. So.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. Just two examples of God's faithfulness in our lives. And I guarantee that if we brought all of you up here on stage, we could talk for hours and hours and hours of God's faithfulness in our lives, how good he's been. And I think it's so important that we remember his faithfulness. And some of you may have already done this. Some of you may have set a place in your heart to remember God's faithfulness. And kind of the point this morning is encouraging us, if we haven't done that yet, to do that, because in the hard times, it is hard sometimes to remember where God was and how God was involved in our lives. Another reason I think it's important for us to build a pile of stones in our hearts, and another reason I think it's important to build memorials in our hearts to what God has done, whether it's something big or whether it's something small, I think we need to do it because it's a testimony of God's power. It's a testimony of how God works in our lives. If you look in chapter 4, verse 21, we read this. I'm going to read it again to make my sermon seem longer. It says, he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask the fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. When God works, when God moves a mountain in our lives, when God does something big, we make a pile of stones in our hearts to remember not only his faithfulness, but remember because it's an opportunity to tell of his power, to tell of God's mighty works, to tell, wow, God did this in my life and you need to know it. In November of 1998, I was a senior in high school and I went on my first mission trip. I'd grown up in small town Maryland. I'd traveled a little bit, but hadn't experienced the bigger part of the world. I left the country for the first time, and God opened my eyes to see that the world was much bigger than little Maryland or little Yankton, right? And on that trip, I began to see that God loves the world. And I began to see how God is at work in the world and how God works in different cultures and different people groups. And a pile of stones was made in my heart that's still there to tell of how God is faithful and of how God works. Because I love missions. I love taking people on mission trips. I love telling people about mission trips. And I love the fact that God loves this world. So every time I get to go on a mission trip, every time I get to talk about it, I get to place another stone on that pile back in 1998 where God opened my eyes to that, where he let me see that he has a heart for this world. And I can tell people about that. I'm going to invite two of my friends up here, Joseph and Ashley, to tell of a time in their life when God worked that is an opportunity for them to share to the world of what God did in their lives. So I believe Joseph's going to go first, so I will. His notes are longer than mine, so settle in. Here you go, sir.
Okay, so my story started 2 weeks ago on Sunday. We were in Sunday school, and we were just talking about, we talked about the Pentecost and when the Holy Spirit came and how it did, like, all these amazing things, and we just kind of asked, like, why don't we see these kind of crazy things happening all the time? Because it's the same Holy Spirit that's living in us. And so at the end of Sunday school, I just prayed for God to use me that week and just do some amazing thing, and I believed that it would happen. And so the next day was YHS Idol, and I was participating in that. And on the way to the warm-ups, or whatever you want to call it, I was just thinking back to a time I was at another school event, and we prayed before, and a teacher was just like, wow, I've never seen that happen before. And it It was kind of a big thing. And so I was wondering, I wonder if we'll pray before this. So about 5 minutes before the show was going to start, one of my friends, he said to everybody, he's like, why don't we pray? And so we got in a circle. I don't remember everything I said, but I just asked that God would use the whole night for his glory. So the show went on, and everybody performed their songs. I was done with mine, and I was just waiting for one of my friends. I knew he was singing a song that was the first one that his mom had taught him on the piano, and his mom had passed away 5 years ago. And so I was just waiting backstage because I wanted to be there like for him before he sang that song. And he came back, and he was really jittery and stuff. He said he had to go to the bathroom, asked me to hold his music. So I was standing there holding his music with another one of my friends. We were both back there. And while he was away in the bathroom, I just felt the Holy Spirit asking me to pray with him before he went on stage. And so he came back, and I asked him if it was all right if I prayed with him. And he said, sure. And so I started praying with him, and at that moment, you could just feel God's presence come back there. It was just the heavy thickness in the air, but at the same time, it's like the lightest feeling ever. And I was just hoping that he felt that too. When I finished, he was super thankful. He said all his nerves were gone. He went on stage. He performed his song. He came backstage and gave me a hug again and said thank you. Then we were waiting for the awards. And when the awards came, he ended up winning. And when he went up to get his prize, he stepped to the microphone and he said, he's like, thanks to that guy right there. I was standing right there for praying with me before I performed. And he told the crowd that when that happened, all his nerves just went right away. And so he's a witness to everybody there. So that was cool. Then later in the night, I was texting him, and he just thanked me again, and he told me that that was the first time that he had ever felt God's presence with him. And so I was thankful for that. That's not all. The next day at school, I was talking to another one of my friends who was sitting in the crowd. They obviously heard what he said at the end about the prayer, and she said that that moved her and her mom to just sit down and pray and read the Bible and talk about God, which she says that doesn't happen very often. And so that was another cool thing. One more thing. The friend who is sitting backstage with me while Cody was going to the bathroom, when I asked him if I could pray with him, I kind of walked over to him. So my friend was kind of on the other side of the room. And I just asked her a couple days ago, like, if she felt anything, because I felt God there, Cody felt God there. And so I just asked her, and she said she was just standing there just thinking about it all, because we both know him pretty well and how hard it was for him. And she said she looked over at us praying, and then she could feel God there too. And so that was just a cool time that God used. He used that whole night to glorify himself, which I had prayed for before we started the show.
Awesome. You had to hold that rock a long time, Ashley. You don't want it to fall? Perfect. This is Ashley. I'm going to let her share.
Okay, my name's Ashley. Hi. Okay, so a moment in my life that I'll never forget that God used me in was this summer. We went on a mission trip to Chicago, and one day a few of us had like the opportunity to go out and to evangelize to people on the streets. And I didn't know this until afterwards, but we were actually like evangelizing on the most dangerous street in Chicago. But that was maybe a good thing that I didn't know that until after. But so before I went, I was kind of unsure because I didn't really know exactly how to even evangelize and how to even start a conversation about God with someone. And so when we were driving there, I was just kind of thinking about if God really wanted to use me, then he'll give me the opportunity. And I felt like this was the opportunity. So I kind of had a choice if I wanted to take the easy way and just kind of fly through it all, or really just get into the whole afternoon and really put myself out there. And so when we got to the street, there was this lady that was helping us, and she always went out and evangelized in Chicago, and her name was Darlene. And she's a crazy lady, and she is one of those like people that when you meet her, you're never going to forget. And so I kind of just stuck with Darlene because I was the only girl there, and she seemed like she could hold herself, so I felt pretty protected. But so when we were on the streets, she was just sharing the gospel and praying with random people about whatever it was. And she finally asked me if I wanted to pray for this person that was standing by us. And I just went for it, and I prayed for them. And it really was, I don't even know if it impacted them, but the whole part of me praying for someone and for their problem that I didn't really even know that much about, that was a huge impact on my life. And that I felt, even in that one prayer, that this was something that God was telling me that he wanted me to do with my life, and to put myself out there more and to talk to people more about him. And so this was a huge afternoon and opportunity that I'll never forget. And throughout the afternoon, like, it's even today, like, I haven't forgot a single prayer that I prayed with someone that day. And it was just a huge impact on my life, and I'm never going to forget it.
Thank you. God is faithful, and we need to let people know about that. We need to be able to tell people about what God's done in our lives. And part of building a pile of stones in our hearts and in our minds is remembrance to what God's done, allows us to not only remember that in hard times, but allows us to easily share and easily testify of what God's done. One other thought I had in thinking about this is another reason we need to build a pile of stones in our lives when God does something is because it's a reminder of God's work in hard times. John 16, verse 33, it says, this is Jesus talking. He says, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Friends, we will have hard times. There's no doubt. We'll have trials we have to deal with. We'll have times of suffering, because Jesus did, and so therefore we will. And we can come to the point in life where we can forget that life was ever good. We can come to the point where we forget that there was ever a time of hope. And in those times, we need to be able to look back and remember what God's done. We need to be able to look back and say, God has been present in my life. God's not going to leave. God is faithful. There are times in life where all we can do is cling to Christ and cling to the cross and cling to the fact that God began a work in me and he is continuing to work in my life. And that's what these piles can do. We go back into our hearts and into our memories and remember what God's done. And so today I want to encourage you to take a journey back in your faith, walk back in your life, and begin to build piles of stones in your life at places where God has done work. Build memorials to what God has done, because God has been faithful. God is faithful. He will continue to be faithful. And if you're out there this morning, if you're barely hanging on, I would encourage you to keep hanging on. Keep holding fast to Jesus. Don't give up. He is continually at work. If you're in this room tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never received his free gift of salvation, man, that can start today. And you can build your first pile of stones in this room this morning. Look, there's already one here, right? But wherever we're at in our lives, wherever we're at in our faith, I want to encourage you to testify today of what God's done. as some of these students have done, as they've come up and testified of what God's done, I encourage you over lunch to tell a story about a pile of stones in your life. Tell a story about a time when God was at work in your life. Parents, I would encourage you to tell your children stories of when God was at work in your life, of times where God did something in your life. During a commercial break in the Pro Bowl, tell a story. Whenever, let's testify of what God's done in our lives, because as we testify, it not only encourages us, it encourages other people. Let's make God and his faithfulness known around us. One more story I wanted to share before I wrap up this morning. Was in April 2011. In April 2011, my wife and I were driving across the country. Some of you have heard this. We went out of our way to go through this great place called South Dakota. And we were driving across the state in separate cars because we're moving. And we felt God calling, saying, one day I'm going to bring you here. I felt that in my truck, and she felt that in her car, and that night we talked about it, and we're like, that's crazy, we both felt that. And then a few years later, I guess, in April 2013, I remember standing here in Yankton praying, asking, God, is this the place you're calling us to? Is this where you're bringing us in life? Is this where you're leading us? And at the time, they weren't necessarily piles of stones because we didn't know where God was taking us. But now looking back, those have become two moments in my life where I've built a pile of stones in my heart because God was faithful and he brought us here. Because he orchestrated his plan to bring us here to Calvary Baptist in Little Yankton, South Dakota today. And I can look back and those were points in my life that brought us to here. And so I want to end with this. I want to end encouraging you that God is at work, not only in your life, but in our church. God is at work here at Calvary Baptist. He's done many wonderful things in the lives of people at this church, in some of you and through many of you. God saved people. God's healed people. God's restored broken people here in this place as we pray together, as we seek God together. And I love the fact that God is going to continue to work here. God is going to continue to draw people in and change lives and use us. And I believe that we're going to be able to look back on today, on this year, and be able to begin to build piles of stones because God was at work. Because God was at work in this church, and God was at work through us and in us. I believe that God has great plans for us and plans for the city and plans to reach the city for him. I really do. And I believe that great things are coming to Yankton and to Calvary. I believe that God is going to do things that we can't even begin to imagine. Things that will be like, whoa. Like Tanner in that cold water, whoa. God's going to do things here and make us say, whoa. And I look, I don't know how to, you think I know how to say this book of the Bible, but many people pronounce it differently. Where's Pastor? How do you say Habakkuk? Is that how you say it? Yeah, perfect. That's good. Excuse me. Habakkuk was writing in chapter 1, asking where God was. It was a dark world. It was a dark time. And he's saying, where are you, God? And in verse 5 of chapter 1, God answers. He says, look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told. And that was a message to a specific people, but I believe that that's what God's doing here today. As we begin to remember what God's done, as we remember his faithfulness, as we testify of his faithfulness, as we cling to Jesus in the hard times, God is doing a work. God is going to continue to do a work. And when I think of a year from now, where we're going to be at, and we look back at all that God's done in a year, I think we'll truly be amazed. I think we'll truly be, wow, I couldn't have even imagined that. So I hope you're all ready for a ride. I hope you're ready to go. And as we each begin to do this in our own lives, I believe that God's going to do great things here at the church. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing one last song, and then we're going to get you guys out of here. And then we'll go from there. So let's pray. Jesus, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you that you have done so many things. Things that maybe we haven't even seen, but you've done. I thank you that we have the privilege to serve you. And I pray for everyone in this room this morning, I pray that they would take time today to reflect back on all that you've done in their lives, that they could begin to build some piles of stones of remembrance in their hearts and in their minds so that they could know how faithful you've been, and that we would begin to testify to friends, to family, to coworkers, to neighbors. Man, God did this in my life. At this time, he met me there. I pray that we would begin to testify, and I pray that you would help us. Help us to hold on to you when the storms come, when the hard times come, just to hold on to you and remember how good you've been and to remember how faithful you've been. And I pray, God, that you would work in each of our lives. I pray that you would work in our church. I pray that you would work through our church. And I pray that this coming year would be a year that would knock our socks off, a year that we wouldn't even be able to begin to believe or imagine all the things that you're doing. Lord, let this be a place of healing. Let this be a place of love. Let this be a place of forgiveness. Let this be a place where people encounter Jesus. Use us, God, as we go out into the city and testify of your goodness. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room this morning who hasn't yet accepted you, who hasn't received the gift of salvation, I pray that today they could talk to someone about that, that they could talk to you about that. I pray that they would build that first pile of stones in their heart today. It's the day they met you. God, I thank you for everyone here this morning and for all those who couldn't be here. I pray that they would be encouraged and uplifted and challenged by you today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.